What's up, world? It's your boy, Just Jeremy, and we're back for another episode of the Ever Chosen podcast. I'm joined by the man who never sleeps. Business is his middle name, but he's still an intern here because you can never promote. There are no promotions at the Ever Chosen, Mr. Matt Taylor.
Hey, what's up, killers? One day... 60 years from now, when Jeremy passes away, he'll take over.
He'll take the mantle.
You'll get up to intern level two.
Yeah,
intern level two.
There's hope.
That's right. That's right. But the perks, you know, the perks are pretty off the chain. So it's worth it. Worth the wait. Also, he's head down. He's working hard. He's the repainter extraordinaire, Mr. Marco. Mr. Marco Hernandez.
Gentle bros. Two in a month, basically? Is this two in a month?
Yeah, 2 and 4 weeks, I'll say.
Yeah, I know. Take.
So
nice.
We're back. It's good. It's good to be here. Warhammer. It's a great game.
Good big events this weekend.
Big events, yes.
For us nerds.
What tournaments are what bring us together. Mm-hmm. Matt, what's happening this weekend?
We are I'm 48 hours away, not even 36. Yeah, 36-ish from starting a great weekend of Warhammer, the Lone Star Grand Tournament in Fort Worth, Texas. I'll be there at the venue tomorrow night setting up the night before. Whoop. And then we start doubles Friday.
Oh,
Friday at noon.
Doubles. Hey, yeah. Matt, I think, you know, we're pretty good at doubles. What do you think?
We are outstanding. We are outstanding at doubles. What's funny is my wife went out with her friends last night, and she's often like makes fun of me for playing Warhammer because they're all interested because they just don't believe that
they think it's fucking sexy.
With my dolls.
Dude.
Yeah,
yeah, they do. They do.
And they're like, it's like, what is it? And they're trying to get all this information. And my wife goes, "All right, so give me like an example of like a model so I can like tell them how nerdy it sounds." And I go, "Okay. This is my lord on Karkadrak." And she just loses it. Just
a fake word.
And then I had to like go into like full on like, and his command trait is the Conqueror's Crown. And his spell is Merciless Blizzard. And she's like crying. She's laughing so hard at how dumb this sounds coming out of a 36-year-old man's mouth. And to all of us, I'll tell our listeners, they're like, "Dude slaps. Merciless Blizzard's no joke."
Like, that guy sounds legit.
Yeah, Merciless Blizzard's no joke, man. All right, that's why it reminded me doubles because my lord on Karkadrak did not live up to his name.
Well, Matt, it's gonna be you're gonna get some shivers when I tell you about my most recent tournament. It's that Merciless Blizzard. You live and die by the Blizzard, baby.
Is that a pun, Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm trying.
Preluding to the cold nature of these shivers.
Yes. All right. Oh, well, that's good. Well, hey, other than tournament prep, did you get all your terrain painted? Is there anything hobby-related you've done?
No, this was there's still a lot of prep. I mean, it's hard to explain how much like daily it is. Like right now, lists just got released because of the battle scroll. We had to push the list submission date back. So I told everybody, and I think I'm going to do this from now on. I'm like, from now on, the onus on lists being correct is on the community.
Nice. I like it. I like it. A distributed system.
I've got so much shit to do and I'm only one brain. I don't know every army. Y'all look at the list yourselves. You're doing it anyways. If you find something that doesn't make sense, call the dude out. So like, we've done a really good job this year.
Call the dude out maybe is not like.
Well, let Matt know.
Or let inform Matt know. Yeah. Inform.
That's what it is. It's nothing like most of these guys aren't doing things egregious. They're not like going over points. It's like, hey, you can't have that command trait because he's a named character. Like for a new guy.
Yeah. You can't have a null storm adornment and an artifact. Like
exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay. And so
I've fucked that up.
Yeah. In our Discord, like I've done a really good job of making sure the Discord's like very organized. So like one of the tabs is the schedule, one is the link to the pack, one is the paint competitions. So like you can find what you need. And I think it's really well like situated to where the tournament is just more efficient that way. And just on the general chat, like someone will post like, hey, Steve, you can't do this. DM Matt and let him know. And then like within an hour, Steve will send me a message like, hey, man, can you change this to this? Didn't mean to do that. Sure. No problem. Like,
yeah,
I do enough like looking into it to make sure you're not like changing your list completely. But if it's like, oh, I can't mark my dude that, or I can't give him this artifact, no big deal. And it is so much easier than me trying to go in and trying to figure it all out.
Oh yeah, dude.
So there's that.
I never even tried for the tournaments I've run.
Yeah.
Never. I mean, like didn't even look at the list.
You can't like audit that many lists. It's just impossible by yourself.
I also don't know enough.
Yeah.
Right. Period. Yeah. That's, like, I mean,
if you're
that's
not
a lot
playing
of
Iron Jaws, I don't know shit.
Yeah. It's
exactly. About what's legal.
It's a lot of that. And then, so like, there's just random stuff like making sure the trophies get done on time and making sure the ribbons get done on time and making sure that people's requests on if this model will work and telling people no, like, hey, you didn't paint your shit. Like, you can't bring that. And we got our actual like golden tickets from GW, like that came in, and showing that off to the community and keeping the hype going. And there's just a lot. It's just a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's not, like, it's not, it's hard to know what's going on in the background.
Right. But the hard stuff has been like put in place years in advance. Like when we first started this tournament, where now my terrain, you know, cash is so heavy that I'm not spending every waking moment painting terrain. Yeah. So that's been a huge plus at this point, where it's like I paint maybe 1 to 2 tables now during the year just to kind of add on.
Yeah.
But I'm not just killing myself 6 months prior to paint 10 tables worth of terrain.
Yeah.
And just burn out. So yeah.
Nice.
That's good. And people pitch in.
Oh, for
sure.
So
what's like your like what are you trying to hit? How many tables?
Right now, personally, I have in the mid 30s, like 36, 37. And then once I get to 50, then I'm stopping.
You're done. Donezo.
Yeah.
So what do you do with it? Do they just sit there?
So a lot of it is we have a very small storage unit that I maintain. And so the monthly tournaments that we run for our Dallas club, I bring the terrain when we play those tournaments. So $5 from your entry fee goes to me so I can afford to house all the terrain. So, which is really cool because you don't get the same terrain every month you play. It's always different. It always looks really nice compared to what's in the game store. And it covers almost exactly to the dollar what it costs per month to have the storage unit.
Okay.
So
nice. Cool.
Yeah. And if anything's, you know, shy of that, then this tournament covers the rest. So it's good.
Nice, dude. Just fucking, dude, you're just raking it in. Off
got a,
of
got a system.
Jabroni,
oh, yeah, let me tell you, I'm just, I'm killing it on my my hourly rate for you guys.
That's good. That's good. What about you, Marco? I see you working hard. Tell us what you've been up to. You've been a busy man.
Oh, dude, I've crushed, man. So I finished repainting all old Iron Jaws models that I have. So I crushed 9 pigs, 9 more pigs.
Pigs take forever.
And two shamans.
You know, we're gonna talk about that.
We're gonna talk about that. I think that kind of rounded it out. And so now I'm on to the stuff, the new stuff that I've been looking forward to. So
nice.
First, it's going to be this big pig, one of those.
The Gorgonta Gouja, the non-hero.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I just paint like the boss guy, and then you know, I'll just say, hey, it's a Gouja.
It's a Gouja or not? Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two, so I have one that's like kitted, like the actual Gouja, and then one that's the hero.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do.
And if I ever want to run the non-hero, I'm just going to play the hero and say, deal with
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, I have another one, so I think I'll do the same as you there.
Yeah.
And then our boys, man. I'm excited to paint some our boys. I think they're badass.
Yeah. I built mine all with spears, my first 10.
Me too.
And now I'm afraid that I should have built them non-spears. And so I have another 10.
It doesn't matter, dude.
I know.
What looks cool?
That's fair. The spears look a lot cooler.
Spears look fucking cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, really cool. And if it's equal, then you paint five with spears and five without, and you just pick what you want.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I mean, maybe back in the day when people were like more anal about this kind of stuff, but
everyone always puts WYSIWYG like in their packs, but then nobody actually follows it.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous claim.
Yeah, it sucks that like
yeah.
Yeah, as can long you as imagine?
It's on your list, like this is what I'm playing, like you know, I think it's fair game.
Marco, how many pigs do you have?
I have 15 pigs.
Yeah. Could you imagine them being like, well, there's this new...
No, that's bullshit. Like, yeah, I wouldn't add it.
Yeah, there's this new added weapon you could put on there and it's amazing. But yeah, you can't use what you got.
Yeah, that's just... Yeah. Like, I think that's just kind of cheesy.
It's fair. Maybe I will build the second 10 just with Choppas and then I'll mix them.
Yeah, mix them up.
I've done that.
That's what I did with my the Ragers.
Yeah.
Built
all my Mortec guard, like the Necrophoros, the Hecatos, who's in who used to be really important back when the first book came out, like where he is. He's got a spear. So like I don't care if he's gonna have a Nadrite blade. He looks cool with a freaking spear. And I can tell which one he is.
Yeah.
I've always liked the spear aesthetic for some reason.
100%.
I think it's really badass.
The
especially on like line infantry, you're kind of tanky infantry. I think with spears looks badass.
The only ones that I can't do are the wardens because of how
too long.
Much of a hassle it is.
Yeah,
like it they looks do look cool. It looks really cool if they're just like if just aesthetically. But as soon as you have to like pile and turn, like hey, I want to charge you. Can you turn all your dudes to the right?
Just always end up going butt in first, and that actually ends up looking stupid on the table.
Right.
Yeah. But all these assholes facing the wrong way.
Whenever I had the big elephant that I used as a war mammoth, am I cutting out? Y'all cutting
out? The marauder blocks. Wow. Yeah, you're cutting out, dude. Don't be trying to fucking blame it on us, dog.
Yeah, we're good this time. Marco's not at the Holiday Inn Express or whatever.
Own up to your own mistakes, okay. Matt.
All right.
That's 3 more years of being an intern for you.
When I had the freaking war mammoth, his tusk came.
Well, it's super delayed now.
It's tough. Turn off your camera, buddy.
I'm good.
See if that helps you.
Yeah.
Well, Marco, he's cutting out, we're going to hit our first topic of the day. We're going to talk about my tournament. I just went to a tournament last week. I got to go to the, what was it called? Cake or Death in Vancouver, Canada. It was super fun, and you could bring a cake. That was fine. It's called Cake or Death. There was a cake baking competition. I did not bake a cake, but there was a lot of good looking cakes there. So I went there. I took the Iron Jaws. And, you know, we'll just spoil the lead. Didn't do great. Got 2-3. It was a tough tournament for me.
Is that your worst score ever?
That is my worst score ever. Mm. But you know what? It was still a lot of fun.
Yeah, that could be me this weekend, so no worries.
Yeah, it was still a lot of fun. Had a great time. And, like, all the games were – that's not true. 4 of the games were super close and great games. One of the games – was not good. So I'll talk to you about it. So what I brought is, it was the same list I brought to LVO. So the Maw Crusher with the Destroyer and Fasten, the Shaman, Weird Knob Shaman with Shaman of the Chilled Lands and the Teleport Spell, a little Grot Shaman to cast Mystic Shield, 2 War Chanters, 1 Get'em, 1 Fixin', or 1 Get'em, 1 Kill-A-Beat, 10 Brutes, 6 Pigs, 3 Pigs, 3 Pigs, and then the 2 warbands. 1965, because this was pre-Battle Scroll last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, whenever it was.
So it's 1970 now?
Yeah, now that list would be 1970. But it was 1965, taking the Warlord Battalion to get the Double Triumph, and the Iron Fists, and the Acolytes. So, same exact thing I took to LVO. And game 1, I played against a Belthanos Sylvaneth list. Thanos.
I've never played against him.
Dude, he's legit.
He sounds like a fucking beast.
So he can, for a command, they can retreat and charge. And then just for being around him, you can run and charge. And then he's got in his list, he also had the little arch revenant. Yeah. So that guy gives you +3 to move. And what's kind of annoying, but cool, good for them, is that like it's when the unit starts to move that if they're within range of him, they get the +3. So he's so this guy ended up going 5-0. Jeremy Lemoy, great player. He went to the like at championships in Atlanta last year. Anyway, just top level player. And he was so good at like, you know, he'd have the Arch Revenant over here. He'd move everybody in that section with the +3. Then he'd fly the Arch Revenant to the other side of the board because it's stinking fast.
And setting up his next turn and stuff like that.
Well, even in that same turn. So like he has Belthanos, you know, getting the extra movement on the right side of the board. And then he flies him to the other side. And now the other dudes are getting it on the other side of the board. So that was like, man, that's great. That's very freaking good.
Sylvaneth is cool.
So anyway, so yeah, he was playing Belthanos. He had, it was like kind of a big monster mash. He had the Drycha and Durthu and then 6 of the Sword Hunters. And
dude, that's a badass list.
Yeah, and then a couple of little screens of Dryads.
I've seen more swords recently. Is that just because of the Mortal Wound output?
Yeah, and because they changed the with the change that 6 is in coherency. That was always their problem, is they had 1-inch reach. And so when you had to stay in coherency, the second row, or like two, we couldn't fight every freaking round. So now that they fixed the coherency thing, with the Mortal Wounds, they can kick out some good damage. So yeah, it was a good game. I was like too cautious my turn one. So like I did the pig torpedo, it worked fine, but then like I just didn't move my castle. I was like, no, I like it right here. And so I forgot to like get the wizards within dispel range. So he got like the auto tactic turn one. And like with, I kind of forget every time with Sylvaneth about the strike and fade. Like I know it.
Oh yeah.
But like you just kind of forget about it.
Yeah. They're rolling their attacks. You're like, oh, they're going to get hit back so good.
Like, so like I had the brutes behind. And I was like, oh, these brutes. Like he charged Belthanos across the freaking map turn one. And because he can retreat and charge. And I was like, what is he doing with this guy? Like, he's just going to go kill this warband, and then my brutes are going to fucking wreck him. Like, they got Violent Fury on him. Like, this is going to be so good. And then he's like, all right, they're dead, and now I'm going to pop back over here. And I was like, shit, strike him. Like,
he did what he did.
What is this sorcery?
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of plays like Iron Jaws, man.
Yes, 100%. It's like very similar to Iron Jaws. But like good spell casting. Drycha's good. You know, she's got, and like it has some mortal wounds between the swords and Drycha. There's mortal wounds. Durthu brings, the sword. But then Belthanos too. He's on like
Rend. He's tanky, man, dude. He's tanky, super tanky.
He can turn terrain into mystic terrain, and so he was like dropping arcane for himself in all the important places.
That's a pretty cool rule. I like that they did that.
Yeah.
What's the rule?
He can turn a piece of terrain into a mystical, and he can choose.
What's mystical?
Like arcane, damned.
Oh.
All that. So he can give himself. You just give yourself +1 to cast. Yeah. Essentially, you're just like dropping.
What
does he get that from?
Just on his war scroll.
On Belthanos's?
Belthanos's war scroll.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he was very good, and he was a good game. There was like two moments that were pretty pivotal. One, he had like gotten one of his units of Dryads kind of up in my face, but he had left him within Blizzard range. And so I cast Blizzard on like a 16 or 17, like pretty high. And I was like, I'm going to blow these Dryads off the table, and then like that side is quite open for me to just like charge up that side and hit some shit. And he unbound it on like an 18
Ooh.
Or a 19. Like he was like, oh man, I was shitting bricks right there. Man. That was close. It's like, that would really messed up. I didn't, that would really mess me up. So he managed to stop my Blizzard one turn, which was not great for me. So then I ended up having to send the Maw Crusher, like use all of his 36 inches of movement to get like around those Dryads, because I had to like use Fasten to get outside of 12 and then use my destroyers to go up another 12 and then regular movement. And I charge into the 6 hunters. I'm like ready to go. I call the Wah. And then Oh, I'd also gotten Hoarfrost on his on the rider. So like he was like the rider was base Rend 2 now. So on the WA it was going to be Rend 3 on both profiles.
With Destroyer.
I was going to fuck this guy up. And then but they did have Mystic Shield. Which sucks. So they were able to, you know, they're on a 3 up, so now they're on a 2 up. I got the stomp off, but they're still on a 2. And then like a freaking idiot. Like I'm rolling my dice, and he's like, "What's the rend on that?" And I was like, "Rend two, and I forgot to include the WA rend.
Jeremy.
Like an idiot. And I didn't realize it till we were in Battle Shock. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, dude. I told you rend two on all those attacks when they were rend three." And he was like, "Yeah, you did." And I was like,
"She's sure like, enough. You fucked
so,
up."
So I did it.
So priority, you ready?
Yeah, so I didn't kill the hunters.
That's fucking
they
cool.
Stayed alive, and I will say, in Sylvaneth, those hunters can come, they can regrow pretty quick, because they have, like, a spell that brings them back, so he would, like...
Yeah.
So on his turn, he killed the Maw Crusher, then he rallied and did things, and, like, they were back to full strength in, like, 2 turns, and I just couldn't overcome... Like, I played it out, and I think he won by 2 points in the end, you know? Like, it was a tight game.
Yeah.
But missing
you
that.
Do you kill that unit if...
yes. If, I, like, okay. am almost 100% positive. I'm, like, 99% positive. But, like, I wasn't... And, he, like, I wasn't going to make him... I wasn't going to be like, dude, they're dead. Come on, they're dead. Come on, fucking, come on. Do it. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't going to be that guy.
Right, yeah. Like... It's your fault. You gotta take it.
Yeah, it's like, he asked me to, like, tell him, which is, like, I want that, too, right? Like, I don't want to be responsible for remembering your rules. So even if, like, sometimes, depending on what it is, like, if you tell me something wrong and I think it might be wrong, I may or may not be like, is that correct? Depends on how I'm feeling in the moment.
Yeah.
Like, if it
depends on what, it depends on what game it is.
Yeah, dude.
If it's game 5, are you winning, you know, are you winning the game? Then, yeah. You tell him.
So, anyway. So that was game 1. Fucked that up pretty good. Like an idiot. And then in game 2, I played Sylvaneth again. Freaking hate Sylvaneth. I like them, but I hate them also. But it was the tree bomb or the tree rev bomb thing. Whatever.
Yeah.
Where they're just plastering you with mortal wounds from across the board.
That's terrible.
So like already he was like killing my little characters, which I don't love. And then but I lost this on deployment. So I was like pretty brain dead after that first game playing one of our top players in the region. And like the way he deployed, I was like, I'm going to put the 6 pigs on the line. Like, I think he's going to give me one and I just want to freaking push these 6 pigs into his face and freaking get after it. But there's no reason for me to do that. 'Cause I can just teleport them. So anyway, I put the 6 pigs on the line and he's like, all right, I'm going to take the turn. And he popped Durthu over there and Durthu spanked the 6 pigs down to 2. Faded away, and I'm like, I am such a freaking idiot. And then he also charged in. He had a Tree Lord Ancient, so he like charged a Tree Lord Ancient at me. He like made an 11-inch charge. It was outrageous. So he charged this Tree Lord Ancient on my left side within Blizzard range, and this is the insult to injury, Matt. This is where you're going to be like, gosh, dang it, that sucks. So I cast the Blizzard. Great. Yes. I roll. But now my shaman's already taken a few mortal wounds from his tree bomb turn 1.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like got, I think, 4 wounds left. I cast Blizzard. Bam! I'm about to kill this fucking Tree Lord Ancient. I roll my 46. I roll 7.
Oh, no!
And 2 ones. 2 ones. So I take 2d3 mortal wounds back and blow up. Bottom of 1. That's bottom of what? So I've lost 4 pigs. I've destroyed my general. And I think we played to like bottom of 3. And he had just like, he was just striking and fading. He had that woman, that stupid lady who gives the ward. So like his castle was like this warded up castle that like I just wasn't chewing through. So that game sucked. I just feel like I lost it on deployment. I was like, why did I not just build my castle the way I build it every single time? Like, I deploy the exact same way every game. But for some reason, this game, I was like, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be smart. I'm going to catch him off guard. Nope.
That last game got under your skin, dude.
It did.
Big dummy.
I'm a big dummy. That was game 2. A lot of fun, though. Sean Blake, great guy. Game three, I played an interesting Coalesced Seraphon with Gotrek.
Cool.
And, man, so this is a hard tournament for me. So, like, Sylvaneth is kind of a tough matchup because they're always just, like, they're striking and fading, which is no good for me.
They're just, like, attritioning you down.
Yes, which is not great. And then I play Coalesced, which literally their whole thing is they reduce damage by one. So they, like, take away my War Chanter buff all across the board. And then there's freaking Gotrek who reduces, you know, all damage. So, like, I'm like, well, I don't even have these guys. But that game was, it was good. It was fun. I ended up winning, but it was funny. At the end of the game, the only thing he had left was Gotrek sitting on, I think it was like a three objective mission. I don't remember. But Gotrek was in the middle of the board, and I had the Maw Crusher literally backed up to the table edge on my left side and the six pigs backed up to the board edge on the right side sitting on the objectives and he like couldn't get there. So, you know, I feel like I played that one right.
Did you fight him at all? Like what did he kill?
He took out the 10 brutes without even having to double activate. Cause like the way that he had deployed, I was able to get the brutes up to take out a big unit of Source Warriors. But then they were sitting there. But they had Mystic Shield. I was like, maybe they'll survive. I don't know. We'll see.
Dude, you having listened to the Gotrek and Felix books.
Yeah, you just respect it. You just respect it.
Yeah, right. It is like that is after you read the books, you're like, all right, that was, you know, that's well within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, dude. I actually think they have Gotrek's rules perfect.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
His held point up. Cost and his rules are perfect.
Yeah, it's still held up. It's funny, you're going through some of these like mechanics in the game. And so for Lone Star, what we do is we do wanted posters. You all saw them last year. And it's like this year they're new. And one of them is unbind a spell with a roll of 25 or more. And so like, you were at 19. Marco, what'd you roll back at Hammerfest against Marcus
Miller? I rolled like a 20 or something. It's over 20.
Yeah. So if you can get to 25, you get a free beer.
You get a free beer.
Free drink, whatever. And then if you primal miscast on turn one, and kill yourself. You get a beer.
There you go. Wow, so, you should also add in there if you freaking kill yourself on the freaking damage roll. It was like worse. I almost wish I had Primal Miscast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's brutal.
Because I was like, I'm going to freaking kill this ancient. Oh, nope. I'm not going to kill him. And in fact, I'm going to kill myself. Sweet.
Yeah, you get drinks if you draw. And then on day one, if you beat three of the four clubs, you get a beer. So if you go 3-0 and three of your opponents were like one from each different club, you get a beer. And then last but not least, the club with the highest win percentage after game one gets a drink.
Oh, that's badass, that's man.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, you're giving the people what they want, dude.
If you and your 20 Austin dudes have the highest win percentage, then you all get a free drink on me.
There you go. That's sweet. I like that a lot. So then game four was against a Gitz list that was mostly just like a giant block of squigs. It was like a big squig block and some trolls. And
how'd you deal with it?
I did the pig torpedo and like killed. There was like just enough room. There was like an impassable piece of terrain. And then there was just enough room at the back, so I pig torpedoed into the Gabapalooza that he had back there. Killed the Gabapalooza, and then like shimmied up and caught the squigs.
The fucking back. Pig torpedo, dude.
Yeah, dude, I love the pig torpedo. It's like my favorite, especially because they're like, "What do you like?" He's a newer guy. He hadn't played very much Iron Jaws. Hadn't played Bloodtooth, and so I'm like doing all this like micro movement with like the 3-inch stick, like during the pile in. I'm like being very careful, and he's like, why are you being so weird about this? And I was like, okay. And now, because I left one of the Gabapalooza alive. They're actually kind of hard to kill.
They got a 5-up ward.
Yeah. And so like there was one guy left. And so I like was moving again.
Is that with a three, with like a three?
Yeah, just a three block.
And then you piled in?
Piled in, but was able to just pull in like the back. It wasn't even I didn't think I was going to be able to get it. I was like, shit. But then I was like, are these guys part of the unit? Because it was the Clangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had like a bunch of
those. Yeah.
They're part of the thing. I was like, oh, sick. Okay. So I pig torpedoed him. And then on my turn, I put the 10 brutes into him and didn't kill it, but killed enough that they all ran away.
Did he have Grimcrack?
He did have Grimcrack. So they fought on death and then blew up and ran away and killed the brutes, but it was a good, yeah. It was a good enough. Yeah, it was a good enough trade. And then I was also like pressing really hard on his other flank and had literally like surrounded the loon shrine with six pigs.
Yeah.
So there was like nowhere that he could like bring shit back. Because funny enough, like the Bankasha base, I like wanted to get over there and try to smash it to rubble, but like the Bankasha base wasn't going to allow me to fit.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to put the six pigs over there.
Those six pigs cover so much ground now.
Yeah, they cover
this is the first. This is the first tournament I've played with the new
coherency rules.
No coherency rules. Yeah, with pigs. I'm excited.
Dude, it's great. Yeah, my Immortus and my Stalkers not having to bunch up. It's awesome.
It's so good. I will say though, those Gorgunta bases are still fat.
Yeah, like, you've got a base problem. Like IJ has a base problem.
IJ 100% has a base problem. Like all of our bases are big.
Y'all are chunky. And man, yeah, that Maw Crusher should not be on a base that size.
No.
It doesn't
I mean, it looks cool.
It looks fine because it looks like a diorama.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like everything else on the board.
Yeah.
That fit the body.
I mean, I think it's the biggest base in the game.
Oh, legal for sure. Base.
Yes. Like, I don't think there's anything. Gargants are on a smaller base.
Yes. That's what I mean. Like, it doesn't quite match like the footprint that it's on. It should at least be like an oval. Kind of like your big pigs.
Like the big pigs, yeah. I mean, it would help a ton if it was not such a huge base. But mine is based very prettily, and I now don't want them to change it because I don't want to.
I can't tell you how many times like it's saved my bacon, haha, that the base has been so big that like you can't fly over.
Yes, oh gosh.
Ever. Like it might as well be running. Like other than like a wall directly in front of it, like there's not much use for your fly because your base is just too freaking big.
Yeah, I played a friendly game a couple weeks ago and I was playing against the Seraphon guy and there was impassable terrain and then he put his stupid temple in between the impassable. And so literally like my Maw Crusher could only fit around like the outsides of the board. And I was like, I freaking hate this so much. Like there's no, like he's like, well, sorry. Like, I know that's pretty gamey, but it is what it is because the base is so big. Anywho. All right. So game five, I played against Nighthaunt.
Oh.
And I was not looking forward to that because, you know, similar to Coalesced, Nighthaunt is a tough matchup for IJ because don't care about my Rend and they make me take Battleshock tests.
And they probably negate your extra damage
because they do. They have the freaking Cruciator, so they just turn off all my rules.
They're like the scariest thing in the game for me as an OBR player because I have high Rend, double damage everything.
Yes,
and like and it scares the shit out of me. And we had no Nighthaunt players for this weekend, and then at the last second today, a dude signed up because we had people drop, like three or four people drop. A dude signed up and he submitted a Nighthaunt list. And I was like, yes! Like, somebody.
Yeah, this was
coming.
The only Nighthaunt list at the tournament. And of course, I run into it freaking game five. And I'm like fighting back, trying to get back to 3-2 after like a tough start. But it was a great game. It was Geomantic Pulse, I think. Really fun, like back and forth. We were playing it tight. I sent six pigs, and six pigs barely killed Lady O with all that shit, you know? Like, she's a seven-wound character with a four-up ward, and still, like, barely killed her.
Wait, six pigs?
Yeah. And, like, they all got in. Like, he had kind of put her out on the end as bait a little bit.
Because statistically, you have to do 28 damage.
Yes.
Fours and fours, you know? Mm-hmm. Knock off half again.
Yep, 28 damage, and... so anyway, it was tough. Like, barely got Lady O, but we were playing.
It was all downhill from there, or what?
No, it was tight. It came down to, I don't remember like all the back and forths, but it was a tight game, and it came down to turn five priority, and whoever won turn five prio was going to win the game. So, I don't mind games like that.
So you lost.
I lost. Yeah, he got prio and ended up beating me by like 2 or 3 points.
Oh, that happens, man.
Yeah. So, all in all, outside of that second game, I'm like happy with how I played.
All right, give me some tips for going into this weekend. Oh, sensei, I have passed the crown.
No, oh, dude. Sensei, you're like the 4-1 master with IJ, so I haven't
played a Maw Crusher since in like 2 years, dude.
Well, the Maw Crusher is great. You got to be careful what you put him into. That's like the number one rule. It's like you don't actually want to put him into their most powerful, like
that's the brutes
unit.
Or the six pigs.
Yeah, the brutes, right? Or the six pigs. Like six pigs are going to be your most offensive unit because they have weight of dice in addition to good attacks, right?
Yeah.
So like if you need something that needs weight of dice, you want the six pigs to go into it.
Yeah.
Brutes are great, but they like max out twos and twos on the rend. You're going to like max out at like 36 damage.
Yeah.
So just know that.
Which is epic.
Which is epic, but surprisingly like not always enough. You know what I mean? So just like know that like 36 is going to be
is the perfect roll.
Yeah, it's like that's as much as you're going
to on a four, right? Against fours.
Against fours, yeah.
Okay.
So that is good.
And then is it usually the pig torpedoes? So you're putting a shaman in range to Mystic Shield them?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Never Mystic Shield the torpedo. It dies no matter what. Because like you're putting it into their entire army.
Okay.
You know what
okay,
I mean?
Fair enough. Like, fair enough. Good point.
Yeah. So what I like to do is I shoot the torpedo.
Yeah.
And then I Mystic Shield the brutes and Violent Fury the brutes. And then like set
push
up my screens and then put the brutes 2.5 behind the screen.
Okay.
On an objective or wherever. So that like if they come into you turn one, they're not going to get to fight against the brutes. You get to swing with the brutes at full strength. And then even if they win the double, you know, you feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hoarfrost on the rider of the Maw Crusher is epic.
Is nasty. Yeah, and then I guess you could buff his wounds if you roll low or whatever.
Yeah. If you roll the three or the one, sorry, the one or the two,
get his wounds.
You get his wounds down. What else?
So I wound up taking. So I did.
Yeah, let's hear about your list for Lone Star.
So, Mega Boss on Maw Crusher with the Destroyer. Fasten, and he's in the Warlord, and then I have two shamans. My extra artifact thing for Warlord, I took an extra spell. So one's the general, and he's got the Shaman of the Chill Land, so he knows the entire GHB lore.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's got both of them have Basham Lads and the teleport, and they're in the Andorian Locus. So the extra.
Well, how does he know two spells?
Who?
Like, how does the general? The general knows the lore spell, and then you just get one extra spell, right?
Yeah. So he has the warlord thing for extra spells. So he has Shaman of the Chill Lands. So that means he just knows the spell lore.
Yeah. Oh, so the other one just knows one spell.
No, they both know two spells. You get a.
Oh, do you get it for both?
Yeah, you get it for your. I thought it was. You get it for all your wizards. So.
Oh.
Matt.
That might be.
Yeah.
That might not be right.
You gotta check.
I'll
take
a look.
I think you just get it on one.
Okay, I could definitely be wrong.
I don't know. You know, it's like this odd thing, because what Marco and I were discussing is his list is at 1980, and so like taking the double triumph with the warlord. Is a risky business at 1980.
Yep.
So why? What's the reasoning behind that?
Like why?
Because I mean 1980, I don't know. I feel like I've it's swingy, man. It's just like
you mean like you don't think it's enough?
Yeah,
I don't
think
it's low
enough. Not low enough. Yeah. Like I bet two out of the five games you won't get your double triumph.
Yeah, I'd rather have something that is beneficial every game.
Yeah.
And that maybe kind of switch out my and the fact that I didn't know that allied wizards couldn't take other like the GHB
spells.
So I changed. That was originally going to take a little shaman, and I changed that to another orc shaman.
So.
And then I got What were you going to say, Matt?
Did you change anything after the Battle Scroll? Like, did you have a list that you were thinking this was going to be it, and the Battle Scroll came out, and it, you actually got to put something different in there? So, exact same.
No, so I thought it was like you get to know an extra spell with all your wizards, but, you know, I don't know.
When you take the Triumph for an extra spell? Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was just one wizard.
Listeners, let us know.
Let us know.
I'll adjust my list if I need to, obviously.
But, yeah, so...
So that, and then two War Chanters, you know, the staple. Get them beat and fix them beat. And then I got three pigs, six pigs, 10 brutes. And then I have the Warlord, Andorian Locust, and two Iron Fists. My entire army is in a battalion.
Hell yeah, baby. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. So that'll be good. Oh, a neat trick, something that I've caught a lot of people out with, which is great, is they'll move their wizard just within 30 of yours for a dispel. And then you can use one of your Mighty Destroyers to back them up an inch.
Oh, yeah.
And get outside of 30 and cast your spells.
Dang, that
happens a lot. That happens a lot.
Yeah, because people always like, you know, especially if you get, you know, you drop your wizard down or whatever, like, all right, I want to be just inside 30. You're like, okay, cool.
Like, yeah. Nice know, move, man. Nice move.
You got me. Yeah, good thinking.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Dang it.
Well, mine would do that a lot. And then my command trait on my little dude for the OBR is you can't unbind his first spell. I'm like, that's fine. Like,
that's fine. No big deal. I'm not worried about it.
Still got Don't forget what I told you 10 minutes ago, which is that you still can't unbind his shit. So, all right.
For Let Into the Maelstrom, something I like to do is...
Which one's that one?
It's one of the battle tactics where you have to charge a hero and a battle line unit.
Uh-huh.
You can charge like a War Chanter in the hero phase.
And then retreat him out.
Okay. And it still counts for having charged. I mean, you have to keep... Yeah. The thing that sucks about that one is that you have to have one of the units in combat at the end that charged.
Okay.
But what works really well is you can charge a War Chanter, retreat him out, charge pigs, kill it, and then charge again. You know? Because it doesn't say you have to be in combat with the unit you charged. It just says you have to be in combat at the end of the thing. So that's a good way.
You ever use the mega boss charge in the hero phase retreat pile in 3?
No, I don't like it because all they have to do is roll a 1 on the redeploy when you retreat.
That's something you use, you know, late. That's the last thing you move.
Yeah. Yeah. I just haven't done it very often for whatever reason.
And the double charge I found is super good. So they have a unit 3 inches behind. You charge with like the Maw Crusher and you know, another unit, you clear the screen, they can't do anything, and then you pile in and kill the unit behind.
Yeah, that's very, very, very good tactic.
I'll tell you one thing I forget. You do still see some endless spells like LVO. I think I played against two of the five armies who had them and used them. Yeah. Maybe three. I forget that the battle tactic is kill something that cast an endless spell.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Making that middle note of like, okay, there's a target. Like, he's fair game.
Go kill him. Yeah, I always forget about that one.
I always forget about that one.
Yeah. What else?
I took Wa. What's that? That's the general has to be?
The general or a battle line unit needs to be in their territory.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Anything but your Maw Crusher.
That's so easy.
About on like turn 4 and 5, I start trying to cast the teleport with my wizard and just put him in like the far corner.
Yeah.
You know, like away from all the important shit. So it's like, I mean, you can go try to kill him, I guess. He's way over here. Just remember the Blood Vultures need line of sight, you know. That helps with that strategy.
Yeah, no kidding. You had to bring it up, didn't you, Cooper?
Hey, we're all learning here.
Hey, at least she was a sweetheart.
She was.
You know.
She was. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I always use, on that turn one, on the Pig Torpedo, I always use my free Iron Fist Battalion +1 to hit.
Uh-huh.
Always. Okay. Just because, like... A failed Pig Torpedo sucks a lot. Like, when you hit whatever it is and you don't break through,
Yeah, that, I mean, that just that's just a free, you just gave him a free unit.
Yeah, you just gave him a free unit. You can't. And like 170 is an expensive unit just to like do nothing.
What I'm stoked about is being able to do just a pig torpedo or two and still have screens.
Yeah, absolutely. You know that if you go second, you get two spells on the shaman.
Oh, interesting.
You get to cast two. That's always important. If you go second in the battle round. So that's always great to get like a Hoarfrost and a Blizzard. You can't move at all to cast Blizzard in the hero phase.
You can't teleport and do
Can't teleport. You can't use a Mighty Destroyers. You can't do anything. He has to stand completely still.
I don't like that spell, man.
Oh, I hate it. I hate it so much, but it's strong. It's really strong and like game changing when it works. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. You look, you know what to do. Gorgontius, hit and wound on threes.
Yes, big, dude.
No fours. Nothing in your army hits on fours.
I know, dude.
That's awesome. That's I love that.
It's so easy to play, dude.
It was like 2 years into the book.
Yeah.
And Jeremy's like, threes and threes.
Marco's like, no, it's fours. It's fours,
man. Wait a second.
Yeah. That's with the new book, right?
Yeah, the new book put him on threes and threes.
It's been a while, my friends. I've been in the brute game.
Yep. I love to use, you know, the Mighty Destroyer's charge to stop redeploys. That's like my favorite thing, especially with the Maw Crusher. You know, you can fasten and then charge to turn off redeploys. That's really impactful. Because redeploys suck. I hate redeploy more than anything else in the world. But it's fun for us because you can redeploy three times.
Three times, yeah.
But each time something has to get within nine. Just know that.
Like so does it not happen immediately?
No. It always, all of those happen like as you activate them. So like as it happens.
Okay.
So. Alright. I think you're ready, dude. You're gonna do great. You're gonna have a wonderful time. It's still the most fun army I've ever played.
Oh,
there's magic, there's fighting.
Yeah, this is kind of my first magic I've ever played with, really.
Have you used the new stomp on the Maw Crusher?
No, I haven't.
So yeah, it's D3 plus 3. And if you kill something with it, you roll a D6, get to move that. And if you get within 3 of something else, you can do another stomp.
Okay.
So it's good
So I have to kill the unit to do that.
Yeah, you have to kill it. So that's good versus like a single wound thing that's left or like a low character.
Okay.
Pretty good. And it's like the only mortal wounds in the whole list. So outside of Blizzard.
Blizzard, baby. Blizzard.
Outside of Blizzard. Outside of the obnoxiously large amount of mortal wounds. You can do an obnoxiously large amount or none. So
none and blow yourself up.
Yeah, none
and blow yourself up. One or the
other. So what is that? That happens on a double one?
Just any one you roll. When you roll for the damage, you take D3. You take D3.
That cannot be negated. So ward saves do not help you.
Ward saves and...
Fuck it. Worth it.
Worth it. It is.
Okay.
When it works, it's silly. Very, very, very silly. But yeah.
Nice.
You're going to have a great time. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the Battle Scroll. We'll talk a little bit about Lone Star Grand Tournament and some of the stats surrounding it. And then Marco is going to give us a rundown on the Old World. He's been reading up on the Old World, so he's going to give us the skinny on the Old World.
If you're looking for the best selection, best prices, or just a great place to play Age of Sigmar, look no further than Texas Toy Soldier in Carrollton, Texas. For over 10 years, Texas Toy Soldier has provided the Dallas-Fort Worth community with a welcoming, hassle-free place to shop, hobby, and roll dice with your friends. Whether you're looking for that hard-to-find model for Age of Sigmar, searching for unique basing materials, interested in other tabletop games, or need a specialized hobby supplies like Scale 75 paints, Texas Toy Soldier has you covered. So the next time you're close by, be sure to stop in for a visit. Say hey to the owner, Brian. He loves Age of Sigmar just as much as you do and would appreciate our support.
And we're back. So let's jump into the Battle Scroll. In general, before we dive into anything deeply, Matt, any thoughts or feels about the Battle Scroll as a whole? Are you happy? Are you unhappy?
It seemed I kind of am, actually. You know, I didn't want them to completely try and change mechanics. I did think we were going to see something like leading up into fourth edition, you know, like some mechanic that was going to be presented there. We definitely didn't, that I can see anyways, nothing new. But I also didn't want to like go crazy too much these past few months and people just be like, they just lose interest because they're like, oh, I'll just wait. Like, I don't want to have to relearn how to do something or this is stupid. It doesn't make sense. It's not competitive. It's like, it's just for kick shits and giggles to like, you know, finish out the edition. So I was happy that they made some subtle changes. It doesn't seem like anything was too game breaking. Just gave everybody a little bit of a leg up or made things a bit more expensive for units that probably needed to go up a little bit. But you know, it's this, the softer touch I think is the right call. And they've been doing that a lot. People get upset cause it's not like more egregious. I know they changed the command core where you could, you know, you still get the four up, turn off the command ability, but you can't do it more than once per turn with multiple units. So you're only going to see one of them. Plus, they took a pretty significant point hike there too. KO went up quite a bit. KO was a bit overpowered. Some of the like lower tier armies, as far as statistics wise, the IJ guys got some cheaper R boys. And so that's good. But I mean, Marco, you're kind of right. Like, you may only have 90 days, 120 days of actually using these points and these rules, and then everything will change.
Yeah.
It's all gonna explode. You know, none of it will matter. So, you know,
enjoy it.
Yeah. Don't entice people like, but going, taking something and making it so cheap, like, oh, I got to spam this shit. And you spend 75% of the time painting it and buying it, and then you get to play it for maybe 3 weeks, and then it's
well, that's kind of how I feel about these death regiments of renown. Like, everyone's going for sure crazy for Manfred's thing, but it's like
Manfred's shit is good, crazy,
but
yeah,
kind of use
but
it.
it's if you don't own that model or those models, don't go buy them and paint them. I know GW wants you to, that's the whole point behind having them. It's like, hey, go do this so you can like chase the meta. And then look at that. You can now start your own Soulblight army because you already have, you know, 500 points.
Yeah, if you're interested in starting a Soulblight army,
right,
then it's sure great. But like, don't, if you're not interested in starting Soulblight.
No, I like Manfred's Regiment of Renown, and I plan on looking into it, running it at the GW event that's going to be in Dallas in May because it's just down the street from my house. But I won't be buying or painting those models. I will be borrowing them if someone has them. if they don't, then I'll play something else. Yeah. So, but no, I think they did a pretty good job.
Borrow kits, dude.
Dude, that's what I want. Like,
dude, I wouldn't be able to play with it. I would be too nervous.
Right. See, you're running Neferata. Can I, you got a Manfred over there that can,
fuck up your art, brother.
Bro, you play with my guys, man. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I didn't have any problem with that.
No, it's fine.
Dude, your foot boss is the fucking killer, though. I love that guy.
I like the family photo you sent out, Marco. Your shit's looking great.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I'm really excited to debut it.
So, yeah. I would say, like, without getting into... I don't want to get into every single army and the changes, but
Let's talk about the good shit, dude.
Let's talk about the good shit.
Enough beating the bush here. Y'all came to listen to more Iron Jaws talk. So let's go through it, Jeremy.
Yeah. Look, all the new shit got cheaper. Mostly doesn't matter at all. Ard boys now at 200, I think are fine, are good. I think you will see them start to get played at 200.
So what type of list do you think do you see? Like, what do you see in Ard boys? Like how I do think that it opens up a new avenue of list building.
Yeah. Here's the problem I'm having with all the new shit, and really anything outside of Bloodtooths, is the cost of battle line is now so high. Like, 140 for 5 brutes is your lowest battle line. And Matt's like laughing because he plays OBR and like all his shit is mega expensive. But your shit has better armor and regenerates. Our shit doesn't do any of that. Like,
it lasts a little longer.
Yeah. Like, a 3-up save is cool, except we also live in like a very high-end environment. Right. So armor.
That's where I think you take our boys in 20s though. Like you take a unit of 20, and then you have a solid fuck, and then you have an anvil, dude. Like that's something that the army doesn't have at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think 20 would be good
for 400.
For 400, I mean,
that's still
a lot,
you know,
though. It's like a quarter of your army.
A lot.
So between that and a Maw Crusher, you know, you're at 8.
I don't think you take Maw Crushers in this list, man. I think you go. I think you go like a foot heavy list. You
but
could
then
go,
you're so slow. Like, what are you doing,
dude? Nah, man. You could grind, man. I'm telling you. So like the choppas, you get into choppas. You take some and you build it Ard Boys and brute based, and you take Ragers and you take Ragers are your speed, and so that's 14 inches, you know, run and charge that gets you your speed, and you just kind of grind in the middle, and there's a lot of objectives now, a lot of missions that objectives are kind of across the middle. I think that could work pretty well.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. So I think, but I think so 200. I think Iron Ard Boys are good at 200. I think the Gore Grunta Gouge at 160 is an interesting choice because now it's 10 points less than a unit of pigs.
Yep.
And it brings, you know, being a monster and doing some different shit.
Yeah. You take a Gouge in that list, dude.
Uh huh. You take a Gouge for some speed.
Get your monster in.
But yeah. I wouldn't say that. Everything else, like all the little heroes, still not interested in taking any of those new heroes. And
how about Gordrak, dude? You take a Gordrak?
Dude, Gordrak? I don't know, man. Like, he doesn't have any sustain at the 4+ save, but he's 440, I think, now.
He's cheaper than a
Maw Crusher.
Regular Maw Crusher.
You know that's when your book has gone off the rails, bro.
Yeah, dude. your sense, faction dude. Hero is worse than the base loadout.
It's like, why didn't you just give him a 3+ save? Just give him a fucking 3+ save and everybody would take him.
But, yeah, it makes no sense.
But the difference between the two is too much. Ooh, Marco, this is totally random. But I had a great conversation with another Iron Jaws player at the Vancouver tournament. And what he's doing is he's running no wizards, but double Maw Crusher. Maw Crusher, no wizards. And on one of the Maw Crushers, he's got Destroyer. And on the other one, he's taken that Nullstone icon or the pebble that allows you to dispel.
Ward.
And then he's made that one the general and give it a Master of Magic. So he re-rolls all of his dispels.
Oh, so he's got 2 shots at each one, and if he gets it, he gets to do it again.
And he gets to do it again. And he says it works pretty well. Like, he just shoves that guy up front. And like,
especially
just...
with primals. You still get to use primals.
Yeah, you still get to use your primals. Well, you don't if you re-roll it, but...
Like, oh, I guess that's true.
But let's just say, like, you roll 1 under, 2 under, and then you use your primal, boom, and then you're off to the races. So anyway, he said it works pretty well.
That's badass.
That was kind of neat. Anyway. Otherwise, I think that... What do we think about the... I think the main change is the Wizard Finders of Antdor now have a 5+ spell ignore.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool.
You taking that?
I mean, I'm not because I don't have enough heroes for it.
I don't think it's very good.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean, a unit of brutes with a 5+ spell ignore would be pretty tight, especially with Blizzard coming at you.
It's a 5+ though, man. Like... like 2/3 of the time, that's not working.
It's fair,
yeah.
And like, and that's it's opportunity cost for some, like an Iron Fist or Andorian, you know, something, a Warlord.
If like Nagash and Teclis were really big in the meta, I might be more into it because
it's
gives
meta
you
dependent.
Yeah, it
it's
gives you the extra attack and a 5+ spell ignore now. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I see it as just a deterrent. It's oh yeah,
you can
target those guys, but you on a 5+ it does nothing. So people are going to be like, "Well, I'll just go for this thing over here."
Yeah.
But like you were saying, there's just not enough magic DOMs right now. Like they're out there, everyone's got some, but
Starborn, I guess, is the main one. But I just pray that I don't run into him cuz I don't have an answer for Starborn.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen.
Nobody has an answer for Starborn. Very few people. Korn only. Korn and not even Null Myriad anymore, I don't think.
No, into a 4+, so not as reliable as the old 2.
That's the old two.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah. Speaking of things that came out, did y'all see the spoiler alert for fourth edition?
No.
No.
I got some hot goss for you guys. I saw a sprue. A sprue was leaked of a Skaven war machine.
Oh, shit.
That's got the push fit, you know, pegs on it so that you know it comes with like a starter set, essentially.
Yeah. What does it look like?
It kind of looks like an updated Rattling cannon, I think, with like some warp lightning on it kind of a deal. Pretty good size.
Skaven are it, dude.
Skaven, unless this is someone with some really good CGI skills to confuse the rest of us. It's got a 2024 year stamp on it, and it's definitely Skaven. So,
well, push boys, fit, so. You're right here behind me.
Yeah, you're going to be playing with those rats pretty soon, it looks like.
I'm going to play with some rats, dude. Skaven are freaking tight.
Yes, they are.
I'm not playing that silly bell spam, though, right now. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, no.
That's cool. I'd like the army to just work, not to be dependent on this janky one.
We've actually got quite a bit of Skaven coming to Lone Star, more than I thought.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's been so long since I've played against Skaven. I mean, it's been years.
It sucks, and it's like the most iconic.
One of the best IPs in the game. Yeah.
Well, they seem to build some freaking ninjas. If they can get the Eshin. Are you kidding me? People would lose their mind.
Yeah. So. I'd buy that shit.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that if they make it Skaven, which it looks like it is, they're going to knock it out of the park.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. I mean, all their models recently have been out of the park.
Yeah. Like, Cruel Boys are cool-ish looking, but freaking crazy rats with giant machines that have lightning going on is such a cool aesthetic.
I mean,
And so much fun. Because you know it's like high damage, high risk the whole way through.
Yeah. Outside of the old Eshin shit, I would say like all of the Skaven models still hold up. Like the Doom Wheel, incredible. Warp Lightning Cannons, cool. Bells, awesome. Vermin Lords, awesome. I guess the Rat Ogres kind of looks... I think there's a good rat ogre.
Yeah, they don't. The Storm Vermin are
badass.
Storm Fiends.
Storm Fiends are badass, dude. Yeah, dude.
Yes, some of my favorite models they've ever done.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Hell yeah,
it's gonna be good. That might get me off IJ for a little bit, but not long.
I respect it. That's my favorite Gotrek and Felix book, dude. Skaven Slayer.
It's the best one.
It's gonna be like. You're like playing whack-a-mole whenever I feel like fourth edition comes out. Cause the word is they're going to do kind of what they did on 40K, which is like everything gets an update, like all the war scrolls, like everybody, and it'll be the Wild West. So like, you're going to think something's going to work good and then you'll play it once. And then you're going to pivot to a whole nother army and then play that. And then,
that's why I have delved so deeply into Iron Jaws is because I want to have everything in duplicates. Yeah. So I can put together whatever the best list Jockins can play is.
That's right, dude. That's why you become a collector and not a list
meta chaser. Yes. There's nothing. There's no bigger flex than whenever the book drops and you show up to the tournament like the week
after. Yeah,
and you are fully decked. Like you have exactly what you need.
Yes.
You have no gray plastic. Yeah.
Yep. That's my goal here. So
that's the dream.
Good. Well, the Battle Scroll. It was great. It was fine. BD.
Nothing else to say.
Yeah. No problems.
Hey, I'm happy that the Blade Geist finally got 2-inch reach. Good for them. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There are some things in there that I think are actually way more impactful that we're not giving credit to, and that's probably definitely one of them.
I think you'll see more Nighthaunt because of it.
Oh, for sure. That was their biggest issue.
Yeah.
And the old battalion let them fight in two ranks.
And they saw a lot. And then they disappeared when that went away.
Yeah. So Marcus Miller was out there just crushing it with the blocks of 20 Blade Geist.
One day the Maw Crusher will get 2-inch reach, you know, with his arms that are literally 6 inches long. Maybe someday.
Do you remember my face whenever I was asking you about, like...
We're playing this doubles and there's like a little screen. He's like, you can reach over that screen and kill that shit, right? I'm like, I cannot.
I cannot. I was like, no, like maybe not with like his like hand weapon, but like the big fist and shit, right? And you're like, no. No, man. giant base. He can't reach past the base. Like it is dude. Like
I can hardly pivot.
He's too limited. Yeah.
So you got sometimes you got to play for the love. Sometimes it's all just about the love of the game.
All right. One thing you would like to see changed in fourth.
No more spamming. I want there to be like a three. And I know this hurts for you and all those pigs that you just.
That's okay.
But like, I think it should be some way, like either like each time you repeat a unit, the price goes up some or something, but something that.
Limit like that
de-incentivizes spam because spam lists make me crazy.
Okay, that's a good one. Mine's no battle tactics. That.
No battle tactics.
I don't like that. Mm. I'm not a fan of battle tactics. I want just to be kill? Back to just no, just like the fucking objectives, man. Just playing the objectives.
Yeah. Standing in circles. And maybe like make grand strategies somehow.
And make grand strategies badass, and then get rid of battle tactics.
It's almost like you could combine battle tactics and grand strategies into like one thing where it's like before the third turn you need to have done X.
Yes.
And before the end of the game you need to have done Y.
Yes, exactly. Something like that, that'd and then jettison the every turn. Every battle round battle tactics, dude. I can't stand that shit.
It is, if you think about it, really dumb that like, hey, what are you doing on your turn to defeat my army?
Yeah, man.
I am running these guys to the battlefield edge.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking stupid.
So that they can sit there.
Yes.
Because that's important in this battle.
Yep.
Right? You know, it makes no sense.
It's like, oh, do you have some ambushing units? No. Oh, no. Nope. No reason at all.
They just need to sit over there. Yeah. Okay. and think for a full turn, and then they'll come play.
Regroup.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty dumb.
What about you, Matt?
Man, spamming has got to be high on mine, so that's one that I like to really? Hear you say. But, yeah, I mean, I am annoying, so against. Dude. It's annoying for two big reasons. It's annoying because it immediately makes you that guy, like, what are you doing? Like, come on. Like, bring an army that looks like an army. Like, if you're literally just the same unit over and over and over and over, you know, 15 times, it's like, that doesn't look like, you know, the army that, like, I want to see is, like, the centerpiece.
The mixed arms, yeah.
Right? Mixed arms. You got your cav on the outside. You got your anvil, you know, warriors in the front with their shields, like, you know, ish. Yeah. And most armies can fill that role some extent. But when you don't have that, and it's like, dude, you got all the same units, you know, a million different times. It just, I don't know, it doesn't sit right. So it's that. And then I don't like what it does to people's pocketbooks.
Yeah.
Like you literally.
And then it's gone.
And then it's gone. Yes. And you're stuck with way too many models that you'll never even be able to use again because it just wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
So that's the big reason. But outside of that, since you already chose spamming, if I could change anything in the game, what would it be? I would love to see a system in place in which tournaments, and I guess I could start something like this, but people have expectations, so it's hard, but tournaments were run where it was more of an expectation where you would play different games at different point levels.
Whoa.
So like you would, like it would be natural that you were going to play, you know, a 1,000, a 1,500, a 2,000. Cool. So that
it
way
should, it should like, go down over time.
Yeah. Or like, so it varies so that your general ship is shown better. Your list isn't like, you know, it's not just like you found the best 2,000 point list. It's like, no, this army has facets at different point levels. It's good at this one, but not so good at this one. It's more challenging. I think it, you know, I like the, I would love a game that's in place that we can play in 2 hours instead of three.
Yeah. Yes.
That's something that I've heard about the old world. That's right. Pretty nice.
So like if you can play a 1K game in an hour 45 and a 1.5 at, you know, 2:15, 2:30, I think that'd be great because you could actually put more games in a day during a tournament if you wanted to, especially for those big tournaments that like, you know, like even Lone Star, we may have a guy who goes 5-0 who gets fourth.
Yeah.
So I would love that because I really, there's a lot of fun in like 1K games. Like, it's just more lighthearted, I feel like. There's not so much, like, mechanics and minutia that's going on the whole time. It's, like, quick and it's fast-paced and it's, I don't know.
And it's, like, if you had a different battle plans, you know, like, these are the right. 1K battle plans. These are the 2K
exactly.
battle
plans. Like, yeah. it would be built to that. Like, these are, you know, 5 1K battle plans. Here's 5 at 1.5. Here's 5 at 2K. And if you want to do a whole tournament with nothing but 2K, great. If you want to mix and match, but the expectation now is everything has to be 2000, you know,
yeah, it's always and 2000 all the time.
That's not bad. Like, I love playing, don't get me wrong, but I'd love to like throw down some 1K games. Yeah. So that'd be cool.
Speed is a big great. One. Like, if there's any way to get it to 2.5, yes, at least two, like, let's just say we don't get that, but we could get games to 2.5.
Big win, dude.
Yeah.
Massive.
Oh, it'd be huge.
Just because, like, that day one.
It's really hard to fit 9 hours of Warhammer in a day.
Yeah. And, like, I don't even really like it. Like, yeah. I don't want to play 9 hours of Warhammer in a day.
It's one of the biggest reasons why I don't play Khorne. Like, I play OBR because my games are probably 75% of the time. Like, they're not, I'm not going full 3 hours. I'm usually, like, a little over 2. Most of the time.
Yep.
If I play Khorne with the recursion of summoning and the mechanics and, you know, the whole deal, like, you're just, you know, you're playing the battle tactic game as opposed to the killing game. It just takes forever. Too much still on the board at the end of the game.
Yep.
So yeah, that's what I do.
Those are good. I like those. I like them a lot.
Surely they can change it, right? They're going to listen to this.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think we have, we have the ear of, whatever that guy's name is, Matt.
GW.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, he pulled me aside at OVO and it's like, Jeremy Cooper of the Everchosen? Yes. Oh, great podcast.
Ah, just Jeremy.
What's up, world? Oh, I love that.
Oh, boy, hit me again.
Say it to me slow. Oh, goodness. All right, that's good. Well, Matt. With that in mind, the Lone Star Grand Tournament will be with the new Battle Scroll. So tell us a little bit about what's happening at the tournament. What are you going to see? We're not going to do a list review. If you want to see a list review, go check out the Austin Weird Knobs. Those guys are putting out a ton of great content as it relates to the lists.
Yeah, they're doing a two-night review, like live streaming. It's actually going on right now because it started at 7:30 tonight, which is an hour and a half ago. So, go listen, go replay their list review, but we're just going to go over like big picture what's coming to the tournament. Okay. So there are 32 order armies, 24 destruction, 22 chaos, and 19 death, just right under 100. We had a few drops, 97 in total. So let's play a game real quick. If you had to guess which order army is number one.
Oh, shoot. Which order army is number one?
This should be easy. This should be a gimme.
Is it Stormcast?
Stormcast.
Yeah, Stormcast. Okay. Yeah, easy, right? Yeah. Okay. Now that we're done with the easy one, who's number two?
The second most popular
Cities.
Order. Ooh, Marcos.
Cities is three.
Cities is three. Ooh. Okay. So you're saying there's a chance.
Daughters of Cain.
No. Zero chance.
Daughters
really?
Only has one.
Okay.
Only has one player.
Yeah.
Old Mr. Mike Wynn.
I'm gonna say Seraphon. I think there's still a lot of Seraphon bumping around.
Jeremy wins the order category. Dude. Seraphon with number two, with six players.
So and all of them are Starborn, right? Is there even a single
probably. Co-list
in there?
I don't know. I'm not looking at that data right now. But Stormcast 8, Seraphon 6, Cities Sylvaneth. 4, Ideneth 3, Fire Slayers 2, KO 2, Lumineth 2, Daughters 1.
Wow. Yep. Only 2 Lumineth as well.
I know.
I don't get it, dude. I think they're still
got
really
cheap, man.
Freaking good.
They are. I'd lost to him at LVO. It's my only loss.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We're going into Destruction. Cooper has to make the first guess.
Who's number one in Destruction?
Who's number one?
The War Clans, baby. Are you counting all of War Clans, or did you split War Clans up?
War Clans are split.
Okay, then I'm going to say Ogre's number one. No, Gits. Sorry, Gits 100% number one. Let me say every single
Let me guess. What's your fucking guess, dude? Gits.
Okay, Gits is your guess.
Gits is number three.
Okay, Sons of Behemoth.
Yes, Sons is number one with seven.
What? Yep,
tied.
That's a classic.
Tied.
That's a classic.
Tied at number one is Ogres.
Yeah.
Seven.
Ogres are big. Yeah.
Dude, Ogres are pretty fun. Man. I've been playing some monster trucks a little bit in the off time, and like, they are fun, dude.
Yeah.
The charge mortals are so cool. The 3d6 like stonehorn fly thing.
A stonehorn will always be a stonehorn. Yeah. Like it never fails. Like no matter what happens, if you got a stonehorn that you're fighting against, it's hard.
It's a tough one.
Yep.
Yeah. So Gits is third, tied with Iron Jaws at four.
Wow, okay, so there's cultured people here.
Yeah, we got a big wall with only one, so they were listening to Jeremy telling them to fuck off last
podcast. That was a big change in the Battle Scroll, is that like they used to have all the free tactics, and now the tactics are keyworded to whoever your general is, so they don't get free tactics. Oh my gosh, free tactics and you win games? Who would have known? Who would have guessed?
Jeremy, you're wrong. They listened to your advice.
That's right. They decided to be purists.
Yeah.
They went Iron Justice.
And then only one Cruel Boys, Mr. Brian Lofton.
Cruel Boys are good, dude.
I think Cruel Boys are still in a great spot.
And dude, we're in that point in time where people are starting to forget what those old armies are and like what they do.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's part of the IJ success, dude. People just don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Cruel Boys is also there.
Yeah, you're either playing the new hotness and no one knows, or it's so old you're like, I haven't seen that in forever. I have no idea what that does. Like those, like you're on the next level if you're in that position. Like you've already got a leg up. All right, here we go. We're going into chaos. Marco has to choose first. Marco, number one army of chaos being played at the Lone Star Grand Tournament is.
I'm gonna say Khorne.
Khorne is number two.
Yeah, it's going to be – I know what it is.
What do you think, Mr. Cooper, to take the lead?
Is it Slaves?
Slaves.
Really, dude?
Yeah, Slaves is number
change,
one.
You know, people – a lot of Demon Princes. I'm sure.
What is it? What was the change?
He just got more attacks.
He just got a few more attacks. It was nothing big. Archeon got cheaper by 40 points.
Dude, I haven't seen an Archeon in years.
Yeah.
I wonder if
I have to play as a ringer, because he got cheaper, I can actually bring Archeon and just like two little Warcry warbands.
Hell yes.
To be my 1,000-point list.
Yes, dude. Yes.
Let's go.
Can you take gods in 1,000-point games?
Yeah.
You used to not be able to, but now the new GHB, like there's no point limit on a single unit. Like to be like you couldn't bring something over like 500 points, but now there's not. So yeah, you can bring Archeon. He's literally probably the most expensive you can bring because you still have to have two battle line, and so Nagash is too expensive.
If you were in Legion of Blood, you could bring him and bring two units of bats.
There you go. Yeah, something to think about.
That'd be 1970.
But let's see. Slaves is one with seven players. Khorne two, tied with Skaven for five.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
And then a steep drop off. Beast of Chaos is in fourth with two. Nurgle in fifth with two. Slaanesh in sixth or seventh with one. And no Tzeentch.
Tzeentch is a bitch to play, man.
It's definitely big brain, but
it's not even big brain.
Like, there's nothing more powerful than the army that can choose its own dice. Like it's just so
no, good. Yeah. I think it's just tedious. Like the splitting is. An awful experience. It's a masochist's army.
Yeah, it is. All right, going into death. Number one, Jeremy.
Soulblight.
Number two, Marco for the win. Your favorite.
OBR.
Yeah, you can't get this wrong. OBR.
Oh, yeah, OBR.
Nine players, the most of any faction.
Jeez.
Coming to Marco's like,
everybody show me your decks. Everybody show me your decks. Actually, Marco, I wouldn't say OBR is a terrible matchup for us.
Okay.
It's hard. Well, because, like, at least they're susceptible to Rend somewhat. You know, like, they can make one unit impervious.
Yeah.
But
as long as you got the Maw Crusher there to roar those Mortec.
Oh, man, that's three up, dude.
Yeah.
You're good. But yeah, Bone Reaper's number one with 9 players. Soul Blight number two with 6. Flesh Eaters number 3 with 3. And then we got our lone Night Hunt who just signed up.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Dude, there's so many new armies I haven't played. Like, I haven't played Beast of Chaos. I haven't played the new Flesh Eater Courts. I haven't played the new Cities. Like, I just want to play new armies.
Yeah. I haven't even seen new FEC being played. Yeah, Marco, how many drops are you?
I'm as many as I have units.
How many is that?
I don't know, dude. Fucking 10, 11, 12.
No, you're probably at like 9.
So if you're 9 drops, there will be 5 players who have more drops than you.
Nice.
So
you're
everybody
10.
Else.
You're 10.
Yeah. So you got 4 players that have more drops than you as far as drops go. And then let's see. They gave us some info here on like most popular sub factions being played in Chaos, and like each one in Chaos, it's Knights of the Empty Throne for slaves.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty standard. And Death, Mortis Praetorians, and Petrifex Elite, and then Legion of Blood, all tied with 4 people are running those guys. Then in Destruction, King Broad, 4 of the 7 Gargant players running King Broad Stomp.
Yeah.
And then, good. Ooh, 6 of the 7 Ogre players are playing Meat Fist.
Yep.
Oh, dude, so that's the Tyrant bomb, right?
Well, it just makes all the Gluttons hit do the Mortals on 4s.
Because they got cheaper, right?
They got cheaper. The mixed arm, one of our best players here in the Pacific Northwest, Carson Whitlock, has been playing a mixed arms Meat Fist list forever. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, he's got the Frost Lord. He's got 1 Iron Blaster. He's got 2 units of Iron Guts. Some.
That's dope.
1 unit of Gluttons. The little goblins running around. He's bringing the Gorgers now, like the Gorger pack. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's good. That thing can deep strike.
You can deep strike, and the Howler makes you not hear your command on a 5+ if you're in within 12 of it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really good considering that we're all like going crazy over the Cities thing that it's on a 4+.
Mm-hmm.
I get that there's no range on the Cities one, but still, 12-inch bubble is pretty
good. There's
no
range on the City
one?
Yeah,
the City's
no.
Silly.
It's
what?
Board wide. Board wide, 4 up, turn it off.
What the fuck?
It's the only thing that scares me from bringing Catagross. Like, if I can't get his command ability off, like, that is a big problem. So
it's every command ability?
Once per turn. Yeah.
But like Mighty Destroyers? Oh, you think you're going to Mighty Destroyers? 50-50 shot? You're not.
Yeah.
Dang it. That freaking screws up my strat bad.
You want to redeploy? No. No, you're not. So then Iron Jaws, 3 of the 4 playing Bloodtooth. And Gitz, 3 of the 4 playing King Skits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, King Skits has gotten popular.
Last but not least, Order. A lot of it is... There's nothing egregious. The most significant ones are Sylvaneth, 3 of them are taking Heartwood, and then Stormcast, 3 of them are taking Scions of the Storm.
What's the Seraphon? Yeah, tell me.
Seraphon, you got 3 at Fangs of Sotek, 1 at Kotal's Claw, 2 at Thunder Lizard.
Wow. So
yeah. So a very eclectic bunch here.
The Thunder Lizard, those are coalesced. So
yeah.
So two out of the 6 are coalesced. That's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it, man. So that's the rundown. We got a good bunch. Like, it's not like a ton of any one thing. It's like everybody's kind of spread out. Most armies are represented, minus 1 or 2 here and there. But I'm excited.
It's gonna be a great weekend. It's a great venue down there in downtown Fort Worth. I'm sad to miss it. This will be my first year to miss in a couple years.
I know. Yeah.
Since I moved up here, I think.
So how are you gonna make it up, dude?
I don't know. Well, you guys are going to come up for Tacoma Open, don't you know?
What?
Early July, Tacoma Open.
Hey, if you come on down for the Dallas Open, it's in May that they just announced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look, I've come to you guys multiple times. You need to come.
That's
to
true.
Me.
I do need to get up there.
Dude.
I do need to get there.
You need to get up here.
You can visit your family, dude.
No, my family doesn't live there anymore. I'm familyless in Texas. It's a sad thing.
Hey, I am your family, Jeremy.
That's true.
Yeah. You want this intern to fucking get promoted or not, dude?
Yeah. But seriously, right. You guys should come.
Do y'all want to hear this disgusting list by Chris Schelling that I?
Yeah. Let's hear this. This is the only list we're gonna read. This is all it, right. Chris. We know you like we like you, but also, what did you do here, buddy?
Yeah, I mean, so I skimmed through just about everything, like maybe 10 or 15 lists, and I came across Mr. Chris Schelling, and I clicked on his because he's a very good player. I think he was a world's alternate. He's consistently a 4-1, even a 5-0 player within our meta, and he's playing Stormcast, which Chris, as far as I know, had never played. And I got to admit, Chris ran Gargants for the longest time, and everybody was like, kind of praised him, even when Gargants weren't that great, because he could make it work. Like, he could win with Gargants, even whenever they were kind of mid-tier at the, maybe the end of the last GHB.
Yeah, because they just couldn't do a lot of the they couldn't do.
King Broads. So he's not a meta chaser, but this list, my friends, oof boy. Okay, so he is Stormcast Eternals. He's the Signs of the Storm. And I don't know what, you know, his grand strat is. Baron Icescape. No clue. And don't think it'll matter. And his holy command is Steadfast March, which I don't know what that does either. But let me tell you about his list. He's got a Lord Imperitant, who's his general, who knows Master of Magic and Arcane Tome. So he's basically trying to get his magical dominance with this guy. And the reason why he is so good is because he, once per turn, when something drops in from the sky, you can have that unit drop in 7 inches away instead of 9.
Yeah.
So, well, what goes really well with that? Well,
perfect.
He's got 6 Annihilators with Meteoric Grand Hammers, another unit of 3 Annihilators, 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 and another unit of 3 Annihilators, totaling 21 Annihilators. And then he's got the Comet. And so the reason why the Comet's great in this guy's hands is because it's a 36-inch range. So he drop that Comet. Stay outside of Unbind range. And he can reroll that cast, if he doesn't get the 6 that it goes off on, plus primal die, so he's probably going to get it. And so he's going to do mortal wounds to you with the Comet, and then he's got 21 Annihilators that whenever they drop, they do mortals to you. And then he has not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, he has 5 Knight Vexillars with Meteoric Standard.
Oh, Jesus.
Does anybody know what those do?
Yeah, they do once per game D3 mortal wounds and AoE.
To everything within 6 inches.
What the fuck, man? Yeah, what
This is dirty. So he can basically, and I think that range is like 30 inches on that standard.
Yeah.
So he can point and click and basically put 5 D3 mortals on you.
How many drops standards. Is he?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. He's got 2 battle regiments, so he would be 2 drops.
But most of that shit's in the sky.
Yeah. Everything. I guess. All the Annihilators are. He'll literally start the game with 6 heroes on the board. That's it.
Wonder if he throws up like a little screen.
Maybe.
Like two of the units just to... Because like if he did that and then didn't take first against us...
Right.
Like he has a Maw Crusher and 6 pigs in his face.
He did.
Right. Yeah. But man, I mean the amount of mortal wound output turn 1 is just unreal.
I think that list's okay. I think like it'll like work or it won't. You know what I mean? And then if it doesn't work.
Oh yeah, it's a turn 1. Like you're going to win the game or you're going to lose the game in turn 1.
Yeah.
Which I respect, you know.
He's ready to go chill at the bar.
Yeah.
One way or another. No, I bet it actually has some play, like if he doesn't turn 1. It's just like once he comes down, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, but that's tough. I mean, all your units are going to be just whittled down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's a good enough player. He knows what you want to keep alive. And he's like, nope, I'm taking it.
His target priority is going to be correct.
Yes. Whatever it is that you think that you really want to keep there, I'll make sure I hurt you as bad as I can. I'll put that those standards exactly where it's going to do the most damage. I'm killing two or three heroes because I'm probably pegging more than one with where I'm placing.
I wonder if like, do you just
you will win and lose like, that game? Yeah, you will.
Three pods, like one pod on one side, one pod in the middle, one pod on the right.
I wouldn't even do pods. I would literally be like, every unit is going to be as far away from the other unit as possible because with the comet plus the standards, if you get close,
well,
just
look, Matt. Some of us require little bubbles to do anything. Okay, some of our armies require overlapping bubbles to get their buffs.
Dude, you're talking to an ex-corn player. I know all about bubbles.
Yeah, dude. Circles,
and hey. And Catacross's bubble is only 24 inches, oh, so I know exactly how you feel.
Oh, a big 48-inch bubble. Oh.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I saw that nastiness, and I was like, dude, that's going to be filthy.
Yeah. I guess what he's not going to be good into is maybe Gargants, funny enough.
I mean, maybe. Do you think he could take down a Gargant per turn with all those Annihilators?
I mean, dude, the Annihilators are what's crazy, dude.
Three damage a piece?
Yeah, they definitely can.
They're also like screen, like fucking tanky ass motherfuckers, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can keep those Gargants from running around for sure. I don't
know,
man.
Just like pin them in.
Honestly, I think the things that can do really well against him are things maybe like Gits that like as long as you kind of keep your heroes from you're getting smacked.
They're toast, dude.
You only need one banner per hero.
Yeah, dude, they're fucking toast.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like
I would think Seraphon like recursion with like Croak rate or something like that.
Dude, Croak dies fast. You put 10 wounds on him, it's over.
Yeah, you put the 5d3 into Croak and he gone.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, he can unbind board wide, which is
not. Yeah, but they're not spells. It's just an ability.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just point and click. I feel like
Soul Blight would probably actually be good.
Yes. Soul Blight would be solid.
Because they're just going to heal all those wounds on like the big shit.
He's still going to kill heroes, but.
But like Soul Blight's big heroes, you know, it's like vampire lords and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think OBR would actually be okay. Depending, you know, I'm like anybody else. I still want to huddle up and not being able to do that. He can
maybe like off. Fire Slayers because they all have 5-up wards, so they're like cutting his damage in a third.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
You know, the one Fire Slayer player is gonna bring him down.
Right, go get him, man.
Nurgle,
run across.
I guess Nurgle's the same way. Nurgle, they all got the 5-up ward.
Nurgle would be solid. Yeah, that's true.
Monster trucks would actually be solid.
Probably Khorne. Khorne would be great.
Khorne would be all right.
Fine. Yeah, because I mean, it's Bloodthirsters and Scarbrand, and so you may get one of them off the board early, but then you shot your shot, and they're running at you with everything. And
but dude, there's Annihilators in the way.
That's true.
That's a lot of 21 Annihilators.
21 Annihilators.
In separate packs of three. That's just board control.
No, but I think
one big group of six and a bunch of threes.
Stonehorns would be great into that list because you're going to charge Stonehorn. Yes. They're going to kill the Annihilators on the charge with all the mortals, and then 3d6 over to the next unit, kill them in combat. They're having all the mortals coming at them, or not having, but
that could be good.
Reducing them by a
and
third.
they could potentially. Well, they're all meat fists though.
Yeah, a lot of meat fists. No monster trucks this game. Wow, good luck, Chris.
Yep,
it's a fun list, kind of. Not really, actually. No spamming.
Yeah. But no, I'm excited for the weekend. It's gonna be a great time. I'm excited for doubles. We've never run doubles before in Texas. Like that's gonna be great. I've got some great stuff planned for the weekend. I think everybody's gonna be happy to just roll some dice, and we've got good weather coming in. So, it's gonna be awesome.
I'm jealous. I'm sad to miss it, but I know you guys will have a great time.
Yeah.
Well, friends. I think that's it. Oh, wait, no, Marco, you got to talk about the old world. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Old world.
Okay. Let's go. All right. So the things that I like about it is that it's definitely more RPG-esque. So something that I really enjoy is like you can take units or every unit is customizable. So for X amount of points, you can put spears on your guys. You can take a little Grot Shaman. You can put them make him buy level 4 caster, put him on a goblin wolf, put that wolf into a pack of wolf riders, so he gets the same rules as kind of like the wolf rider pack, which is like to shoot and fade, stuff like that. So it's very customizable. You can use a lot of your just get movement trays that, and I've heard it's you know, you can get good enough games in with your AOS stuff. You don't have to rebase everything. So it's pretty cool, man. How they do stuff. I heard the games are 2 hours long. You do spells in different phases. Like there's different types of spells.
That's cool.
So like conjuration and hex happens in the hero phase, and then like, you know, magic missiles and vortexes happen in the combat phase and the shooting phase, and then you know, you switch off, and then there's a initiative. So for units fighting, like in other RPGs, so that determines like when stuff fights. Let's see, and all the stats are like, you know, strength, toughness, like their armor class, you know, stuff, kind of the classic RPG statistics.
Cool.
You know what I would love to see that now, like you mentioned it, is trading initiative.
Yeah.
The whole game. Like no more rounds, like no more priority. Like it's, I mean, we all love the priority role, but like imagine if you just.
Like the initiative role is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like, and then you just go.
Each unit has an initiative.
You just go back and forth. Like, you know, boom, 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 boom. You just keep going. And so, because there really is some feel bads, right? Whenever you like lose that priority and you know your whole army is about to get just obliterated.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to like have the ability to counter, like take a heavy hit and then be like, all right, before you get to move all other 8 of your units, like I get to move one of mine. And then you just, you know, much more strategic that way. And I think it, you know,
that would be pretty fun.
I would love to see that. Cause that's the way, I think the Lord of the Rings game is.
Okay.
Like you just go back and forth. Like I move or do something with a unit. Now it's your turn. You get a unit, and then we just boom, 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 back and forth.
Back and forth the whole time. That'd be sick, dude. Because yeah, I do like. It's funny. It's like you stand up during your opponent's hero phase, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna dispel this. Okay, you're getting on the movement, and then you sit down and you wait for like that one.
Much more interactive.
You're like, okay, when he does that thing, I'm gonna do my redeploy. I'll wait for it.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So.
And dude, you could take like an orc big boss and put him in a unit of black orcs or ard boys, and then give him a fucking buy the rune axe, you know, for 25 points. And then he's like in that unit, he calls the wall, and it like happens, you know, works for the unit because he's embedded in it. Like it's badass, man.
That'd be cool to like pay points for items would be interesting.
Yeah, dude. It's really, their item system is badass.
Yeah.
And you could just deck a fucker out. You know, you could spend a shit ton of points just decking out just like a random foot hero. That's just a baller.
Marco, have you looked at like people in your community? Are they playing games? Is it
So I talked to Dimitri. Basically just playing the old world.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try and get like a starter game with him.
The Horchard has moved only. See, this was the thing I was afraid about with the old world.
I know, the Frenchman.
Yeah. We need the Frenchman. Yeah,
but suppose it's like a more niche. But I'm telling you, man, I think I'm going to try it. Okay, so I'm. This is all conjecture based on reading the rules. I'm like halfway through the rules, so I don't know shit about Dick. so take that with a grain of salt. But it seems I love RPGs, man. Like I'm currently going through the first Baldur's Gate and the second Baldur's Gate from like fucking 2000 or 1990, whatever.
Yeah.
I love this type of stuff. It feels like that. It's more of that type of game. Less, dude, I feel like AOS has gotten so gamey. Like chasing just fucking meta, just ridiculous shit, dude. Like the strongest stuff. And you have a lot of non-bow games, man, where you just get fucking trained.
Yeah.
There's not much.
The rock. Like I don't love the rock paper. Like the rock paper scissors has definitely gotten to like its peak.
Yeah.
And so like I played.
I just want to have a game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to either. I don't want to truck my opponent, and I don't want to be trucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're definitely getting into that almost like senioritis phase where it's like this is becoming a bit stale. We're all eager for a big shakeup, which hopefully the next edition will be. And then I'm fairly positive is that once we hit midsummer into the early fall, the engines will be revving to get back in play, because hopefully they've made it better.
Yeah.
You know, fingers crossed.
Oh, they will. I've heard it's good.
Yeah. I've heard, you know, through the grapevine, people who've played it, like
fourth,
testers
that
are like,
fourth is dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, it's great. Yeah. Like, it's very different and it's great. I'm like, cool, let's do it.
Yep. I'm ready.
So
I'm ready to use the freaking Tusk Boss.
Yeah, dude. We need some fucking artifacts, man. What is this shit?
Yeah.
Dude, it's so fucking trash.
There's like, one
dude,
artifact
I was talking, dude, I was talking to Jeremy, and there's no artifact for War Chanters. You can't take an artifact on them unless it's like Arcane Tone or like the generic ones. Yep. And there's three artifacts for
Iron
the Mega
Jaws.
Boss. And yeah, dude, it's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get y'all's book.
Also, we only have two spells worth taking out of, you know, two of our four. Half of our spells from our spell lore are complete garbage. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So this was something that I wanted to say, you know, I'll get off my fucking soapbox. But in the battle scroll, yes, the points changes are great. These points, with an adjustments to just added, if you just take the army that you have GW right now and you just give us new artifacts and stuff like and command traits that we can use and synergize in different ways with the army is great.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamentals of Iron Jaws are incredible. Smash and Bash is the most fun shit you can do in the game. And Smash and Bash combined with Mighty Destroyers is the coolest combination of rules there is in Warhammer. So just if they could just give us good artifacts that and command traits, I think the army is fucking badass.
Also, one thing that I would love to see changed is for Mighty Destroyers, make it not 12 but 9 inches. Yeah. It sucks when people know how to play Iron Jaws and they like sneak in at 11.9, and they're like, "Cool."
Well, and 12 inches is big, dude.
It's so big, so they can like turn off your main ability.
That's what my wife says every time.
Yeah, 12 inches is too big.
12 inches is so big.
That dildo is enormous.
I'm so glad you bought this for me, man.
It's huge.
12 inch dildo.
All right, guys. Well,
on that note,
until next time,
we will talk to you later. Have a great tournament. Talk to you afterwards.
See you.
Bye, friends.